Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, from high atop the ice surface at MTS Center. We welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. Joining me in the press box is Michael Remus. I'm your host, Drew Mindell. And Remo, this was an entertaining game on a Sunday afternoon, and really oftentimes you find that these Sunday afternoon games are a little bit on the sleepy side. I don't know if it's the early start times, maybe people don't get as much to drink in their system before puck drop, but this was a high-quality game between two teams, a good test for the Winnipeg Jets, of course. We talked about how they've been able to beat up on sort of the weak sisters in the NHL as of late. This was a high-quality test against a very good Western Conference leading Anaheim Ducks team. And while the Jets did fall 4-3 in overtime, the fans at MTS Center certainly got their money's worth, and the Jets can probably take some solace in that they do earn the 1 point in today's contest.
Yeah, I agree, Drew. It gives them 5 out of 6 points. Now on this homestand where they beat Anaheim and Colorado the last 2 and 4 nights.
Yeah.
But, it was a tough game for the Jets. Anaheim, a top team in the Western Conference, and it was going to be a big test. They didn't have Corey Perry tonight, and you could kind of tell that they were missing his scoring power. But the Jets had a number of chances. I mean, you talk about the number of posts they had. They put up a great fight. And you know, you look at, if you're someone who looks at the advanced numbers, they did dominate, or not dominate, they did win the Corsi battle. And I think that's something to take pride in, knowing that they did play well. They had chances to win, but couldn't quite convert on those chances.
Yeah, that's 10 out of the last 12 points for the Winnipeg Jets. And the two losses coming in overtime, both to Anaheim and last Friday to Boston. And really what you're seeing there is, you know, a playoff team in the NHL tends to win a number of games, and then they lose some games in overtime and get those loser points, get the extra one bonus point. And for the Jets to be getting that bonus point against the top teams in the NHL, if that continues, if they continue to beat up on the weaker teams and earn 1 point against some of the top teams, that's probably going to be a recipe for success for the Jets in their quest to make the playoffs for the first time since moving back here from Atlanta.
Yeah, I think so, Drew. And there would be a lot of times the last few seasons where the Jets, you thought they would get over the hump,
yeah,
and then they'd play a weak team that you think they should beat, and then they'd lay an egg. But the Jets have been so consistent now since that, the loss against Calgary here at home, which was maybe the fourth game of the year, and they're playing very well, very good hockey. And, you know, that was on display here this afternoon at MTS Center.
There were a number of goals, 7 in total today, so let's get right into it. The Jets really controlled the play, I would say, for the most part in the first 10 minutes of the first period. They weren't able to capitalize and turn it into anything on the score sheet, though. The Ducks opened the scoring at the 11:02 mark of the first period. Comes on the power play. Rennie Bork gets his first of the year, assist to Patrick Maroon and Ryan Getzlaff. And this is just a very nice play. I mean, Ryan Getzlaff's talent, we all know it, but it truly was on display here today. Getzlaff's on the half wall on the power play. He feeds it down low to Patrick Maroon, who's right by the goal line on the next to Andre Pavlik, right onto Maroon's stick, right off his stick onto Rene Bork's stick, and Bork with a one-timer right past Pavlik. No real chance for him. Tic-tac-toe passing. Really just nice playing, nice power play, set play by the Anaheim Ducks.
Yeah, and special teams was kind of the story of the game, especially in the first three goals. But the Ducks, 2 of their 4 goals were on the power play, and you saw how good Ryan Getzlaff was tonight. Andre Pavlik, yeah, I mean, there's really nothing much you can do on a few of these goals, especially when, you know, when the Ducks had, you know, a number of power plays and a few 5-on-3s.
Yeah, the Jets were able to tie it up on their power play opportunity. That came at 14:28 of the first period. Dustin Byfuglien gets his 7th of the year, assist to Matthew Perreault and Andrew Ladd. It all starts with a good zone entry, a good dump into the corner, rings it around the boards. Andrew Ladd picks it up, puts it back to Dustin Byfuglien at the point. He walks in from the top, from sort of the middle of the blue line. He walks in a bit, sees Matthew Perreault on the right by the right faceoff circle to Perreault with the pass. Perreault right back to Byfuglien, who's now darted in on the give and go. Byfuglien makes no mistake, beating Frederik Andersen to make it 1-1.
Yeah, the Jets power play was really working so far. I mean,
great puck movement today by the Jets power play.
On the first power play, I mean, you had the pass from Scheifele to Postma to Frolik at the post, so they could have been 2-for-2 very easily. And I really liked Matthew Perreault's game today, and even the last going back to the last few, very shifty on the right side boards. He's got very good stick handling, very good vision. Doesn't shoot that much, but you saw, him here on the entry, where he dumped it in, rang it around. I mean, every Jet on the ice touched the puck except for Brian Little on this goal.
Yeah, it was a very nice and good to see the Jets get some success on the much maligned power play. So Dustin Byfuglien gets his goal, gets his assist there, and the Jets have a one. It's 1-1 after 20 minutes at MTS Center. The Jets outshooting the Ducks 14-9 in that first period. Jets take a 2-1 lead early in the second. It's Andrew Ladd. He gets his 10th of the year, assist to Blake Wheeler and Jacob Trouba. This also comes on the power play. So the first three goals of today's game were scored on the power play. It just goes to show you that it's not always how hard the shot is. It's important that you get the shot through. Jacob Trouba, just a good wrist shot, snapshot from the point. Blake Wheeler in front of Frederik Andersen. He gets a tip on it. Rebound off of Andersen to Andrew Ladd, who's unmarked at the side of the net. He puts it in the wide-open net, and it's 2-1 for the Jets. Just good shot by Trouba getting it through. Doesn't need the wild and crazy windup. Get it on net. Blake Wheeler with a nifty tip. Really just all-round smart play by the Jets in that instance.
Yeah, and Andrew Ladd doesn't score the prettiest goals, but when he gets in front of the net, he knows exactly what to do and how to put him in. There's something to be said about that kind of skill. I think you got to give a lot of credit to Trouba on this goal for getting the shot on net, and even on the game-tying goal, which we'll touch on later. But you get the shot on net, and you know maybe it'll hit the goalie in a weird spot, and the puck will get a rebound. You never know what could happen. It's always a much better play to get it on net, and then we've seen a few guys on this team who got great shots, but they can't seem to get it through, or even get it on net, or they just shoot it wide and have it ring around all the way.
Yeah, terrific play by Jacob Trouba. I mean, we could spend the rest of this podcast talking about how tremendous he was today again. You can say it every game, really, lately for the Jets, about how good Jacob Trouba is becoming, and we'll talk more about him as he did end up getting the tying goal today. The Ducks were able to tie it up at two goals apiece, scoring the first even-strength goal of the game. It comes at the 4:35 mark of the second period. Jakob Silfverberg gets the goal, assist to Clayton Stoner and Richard Rakell. It's a point shot by Stoner, tip by Silfverberg, and just nothing that really Pavlik could do on it. Adam Party couldn't handle the dump-in by the Ducks, and that's what led to the goal.
Yeah, and this is a goal that scored against the Jets' fourth line. That's something you don't want to see. Peluso had a chance previously on that shift to get it out. They weren't able to. And, you know, you look at the fourth line, that's going to be the theme of the season, I think, how little they get used. I mean, you look at the ice time. Jim Slater had about 10 minutes, but that's because the Jets were shorthanded so many times. But Anthony Peluso only played about 3:37 total ice time, and Chris Thorburn had about 4:19. And when you're playing that little, you can't afford to have your team get scored against with these guys on the ice. These guys, I mean, the fourth line here, they just got to play hard, give that energy, and get the puck deep into their team's end and keep it out of their own.
Yeah, I don't think Anthony Peluso had much ice time in the third period of this game, and so that's something we'll monitor. Maybe TJ Gagliardi will eventually check back into the Jets lineup. So far, he's been stuck in the press box for the last number of games. Anaheim made it 3-2 at the 8:53 mark of the second period. This one also comes on the power play. Ryan Kesler with his 9th of the year, assist to Ryan Getzlaff and Cam Fowler. It's a 4-on-3 power play goal as the Ducks had a 5-on-3 two-man advantage, and they thought they had scored. The goal is waved off by the official, ruling Matt Beleski interfered with Andre Pavlik. Beleski gets a minor penalty for goaltender interference. The Ducks remain on a 4-on-3 power play, and they capitalize. This is a gorgeous, gorgeous pass from Ryan Getzlaff. He really comes around the net, comes up around by the right face-off dot, goes over to the left face-off dot, sort of bringing the flow of the play with him. Meanwhile, Ryan Kesler is waiting for the backdoor pass. Getzlaff puts it right on a stick. Kesler makes no mistake. One-timer into the back of the net. No chance, I would say, for Andre Pavlik. Beautiful, beautiful passing play by Ryan Getzlaff.
Yeah, well, the Jets are missing a few of their top penalty killers here. Jacob Trouba is in the box for this one. Evander Kane was ejected earlier for a game misconduct. We should probably touch on that.
No, this is before the ejection. This is in the second period still.
My mistake there.
Yeah.
Trouba's
in the box, and Ben Sherrod is in the box at this point in time.
Right. And so the Jets are down. I mean, when you look at who's on the penalty killer, it's a 5-on-3. You have Little, Party, and Stewart. I mean, not exactly, all-star shutdown defensemen. They've been great. But I mean, it's just such a tough play on a 5-on-3. This goal reminded me a lot of the one Spezza assisted on a few years ago here at MTS Center, where he kind of went all the way around, looped around, and dragged the whole play with him, but then found Kessler on the back door, and that was pretty much a tap in for him.
Spezza didn't find Kessler, though, right?
No, Spezza Mihalik who scored that one?
I don't remember.
You know the goal I'm talking about.
I vaguely recall it, but yeah, it was a beautiful play here by Getzlaff to give the Ducks a 3-2 lead at this point in time. The second period ends with no more goals being scored, but that's not to say there wasn't some drama. Evander Kane at the 1949 mark of the second period hits Clayton Stoner from behind. Kane gets ejected from the game, 5-minute major, and a game misconduct for the hit from behind. Unnecessary, undisciplined. The play had already left. Stoner actually gets 2 minutes for roughing as well, as he didn't like the hit, and he was not too shy about punching Evander Kane in the face a few times while Kane was being restrained by Sammy Vatanen. Jets fans were wondering why Clayton Stoner only got 2 minutes for roughing there. I think that they probably had some justification in wondering that. In any event, the Jets killed off that penalty, which was the first 3 or so minutes of the third period. Undisciplined play by Evander Kane. The fact that Jets end up getting that 1 point probably means not too many people are going to talk about it, and the Ducks weren't able to capitalize on that power play opportunity. But it is undisciplined by Mr. Kane, and there's just no reason for that when it's a one-goal game at that point in time.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Drew. I mean, Clayton Stoner's got his back to him. You can clearly see him in the numbers. The play is gone. Not much reason for him to throw that check. I got a bit of an issue with Stoner. I thought you could argue that he could get 5. He threw the gloves down and started punching, which, you know, you look up the rule book, which I tweeted earlier, that if you are, you know, in an act of fighting, well, that's fighting. It should be 5 minutes. But you can see where I think the refs are giving some discretion, and they want to give the Ducks the power play.
Yeah, they wanted to give the Ducks the power play there. I thought that at minimum it was a 4-minute double minor for roughing,
right?
And Kane wasn't in a position to fight back against Stoner because he was being held by Vatanen at that point in time. So it was, you know, Stoner was also really the third man in, technically, I suppose.
Yeah,
I thought it should have been a little bit. I thought the Ducks should have ended up with a power play there.
Yeah,
but maybe a 1-minute power play. Giving Stoner only the minor penalty for roughing was a little too lenient, in my opinion. But Evander Kane's not going to get any calls in this league because of his reputation, really, for complaining about every call.
That's exactly right. And you wonder how much, you know, the players on their team, they see the tweets of the cash on his back, and you wonder if there's, you know, some motivation. Ben Scrivens did a push-up motion as a taunt.
Yeah, well,
the other day.
The Edmonton Oilers shouldn't be taunting anybody. That's a separate issue for another day.
That's a separate issue. But yeah, I would agree. Clayton Stoner, I mean, you're throwing the gloves down and hitting a defenseless guy, it should be more than 2 minutes.
It should be more than 2 minutes. The third period was, so the Jets were shorthanded for the first few minutes of the third period. They were able to tie it up. It came at the 15-15 mark of the third period on an even strength goal. Jacob Trouba gets his fourth of the year, assist to Adam Lowry and Mark Stewart. You got two very nice plays here by two of the future of the Winnipeg Jets. You have Adam Lowry hitting Jacob Trouba with a cross ice pass, hitting him in stride, so Trouba's getting into the zone with speed. Big, heavy shot, big, heavy wrist shot from Jacob Trouba. It hits Anderson. The rebound pops out back to Trouba. He's still going hard at the net, and he's able to put the backhand past Frederick Anderson. Jacob Trouba was just absolutely dynamite tonight on the ice for the Winnipeg Jets, in his own zone, offensively as well. He finishes with a goal and an assist, and this is one that ties the game up with 3-3, and the Jets are rewarded at this point in time, and they end up getting that extra point as a result.
Yeah, that was an absolutely great play by Trouba. I mean, this is what happens when you get the puck on it. I mean, you saw in the power play goal in the second period that Ladd scored. Well, it started from a shot from Trouba that gets on net. Well, this one, Trouba is at the top of the circle, and he, you know, winds up for a wrist shot, and it hits Anderson maybe on the shoulder or near the mask.
Hits him up high.
He doesn't really know where it is, and it's a will play that Richard likes to call it. I mean, he drives to the net and puts it in on Anderson, who couldn't recover. But you look at some guys on this team, maybe like a Kane or Schaefer, who do shoot the puck wide. This is the good things that when you get it on net, and you look at some other guys on the team. As I said, I don't want to call them out here, but You're shooting the puck, and sometimes it'll go wide and ring around the boards. When you get it on net, this is showing that good things can happen.
Good things can happen, especially when you get it on net and then somebody drives the net. Third period ends. No more scoring. We go into overtime. The Jets control the first 25 to 30 seconds of overtime, maybe even 40 seconds. They had a couple good opportunities. I think Brian Little just missed putting a shot wide. Unfortunately for the Jets fans, the Ducks come the length of the ice. Ryan Getzlaf with the pass to Kyle Palmieri, and from a bad angle, he's able to go. It's a bad goal, but a great shot. It's a goal that Andrei Pavlik needs. It's a shot he needs to save. I don't know if he's just playing it at a poor angle, and he's down on the ice when he doesn't really need to be, but it's a very nice shot by Kyle Palmieri to really go right under the crossbar with it and score the game-winning goal for the Anaheim Ducks. But if you inject Pavlik with some truth serum, I'm sure he would tell you that's a shot he needs to save.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not privy to goaltending or how to play, but you'd think that, you know, from that kind of angle, Pavlik's got to cover up that portion there. I mean, it's up the top, but I think you got to give a lot of credit to Palmieri. That's a fantastic shot. I mean, you're fitting that in to a very tiny window.
Sure.
Their margin from error there is so low.
Threading the eye of the needle there,
I mean,
if you will.
Talk about putting a square peg into a square hole. I mean, that's the only place where that shot would have gone in.
Some people have accused you of being a square peg before.
I'm going into a round hole?
No,
what's a square peg? I don't know what that means.
Well, the expression is it's difficult to put a square peg into a round hole.
Right.
So that's the expression. So, I mean, I suppose he succeeded in putting a square peg into a round hole. Pretty much anybody can put a square peg into a square hole. That's why they're both square.
Well, it's very tight. Square. Oh, fine. A square peg into a round hole. Sorry, yes.
That means that that's very difficult to do and impressive to do, and not usually did you see that occur.
Right, fine. He squeezed a round peg into a square hole.
How about you just leave the expressions and the turn of phrase to me, and we'll leave you to do the producing of the podcast.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
Let's wrap it up here.
Let's wrap it up here as well. Let's look at the Jets' time on ice. Dustin Byfuglien leads the Jets 28 minutes and 8 seconds on the back end for the Winnipeg Jets. It'll be interesting to see the health of Dustin Byfuglien. He went hard into the end boards in the third period. He appeared to be shaken up. He was able to shake off whatever injury he was suffering at that point in time, came back and played the majority of the third period, but it was a little bit of a nervous time for Jets fans. We'll see if there's any lingering damage to Dustin Byfuglien maybe after the game when, you know, the emotion and the adrenaline wears off. We'll see about the health of Dustin Byfuglien. So Byfuglien 28:08, Ben Chiarot 20:39. Jacob Trouba 24:38. So you can see the Jets really relying on those top three defensemen right there. Ben Chiarot quickly asserting himself as a guy who looks like he belongs for the Winnipeg Jets, at least at this point in his career. In terms of forwards, it appears as though Brian Little plays the most, 21-24 for the forward group for the Winnipeg Jets. Jets next in action Tuesday night. They'll be in Dallas to play the Dallas Stars for the first time this season. We remind you, Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. on TSN 1290. It's NHL Midweek with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. The Jets will next be back at MTS Center 6 days from today against these same Anaheim Ducks, a 6 p.m. puck drop. Stay tuned for post-game audio courtesy of Dave Minuk and Ezra Ginsberg from both the Jets dressing room and the Ducks dressing room. For analyst Michael Remus, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for listening. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game podcast.